Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, I'm Ben Roy Turner.
Yeah, whatever.
Brilliant stuff. That's the energy that you want in 2021. Just getting through it.
When I don't go first, then I get upset and just drop first.
I go off the order who's above me on the little chat window thing. So right now, it's Mr. JB Josh Brown. If you'd got here earlier, mate, you would be at the top.
But come on, Ben Roy, get in.
Swanning
I'm
in
always
later
prompt.
On. I mean, that's yes. The opposite of the truth, but you do what you can. Anyway, I thought we would gather together on this auspicious day to talk about the future of the gaming industry in 2021. So basically, we just pooled our ideas as to what the biggest news items could be for 2021 that seemed like the most probable stuff. And not to start on too much of a downer, but God of War 2 is clearly being delayed. Let's just open on that. Do I have anything to the contrary? I pretty much think this is something that Sony should just get out there and say, rip the Band-Aid off and just let us know.
Yeah, I think God of War 2 is just, it is getting delayed, man. I think we should all brace ourselves for that fact, because like they only showed a logo when they announced it last year. 2021 always seemed a little bit optimistic. You throw in the fact that everything continues to be the way it is, and also the fact that Santa Monica Studios has like 2 games in production. They've also got a Corey Barlog developed. It's rumored to be like a sci-fi game. And I'm sure, I think I made these tweets up because I keep trying to find them, but Corey Barlog tweets so much today I couldn't. But I swear, at Christmas time, he made a tweet essentially saying, like, we've got 2 games and whichever one's done first, we'll release first. And that's like, cool.
That rings like a faint bell. Benroy, did you see any of these rumblings?
I see when he does things like changes everything to space and then he's like, oh, maybe I'm doing a space thing. But like, I don't know what Corey's doing at the moment because he's just banting the merchant on Twitter now. He doesn't really... he's a good follow. He's a good follow because, like, you know, you want some of that positive Twitter energy. You just go and look at Corey, and he's like found some video that someone's made of his video game. Mm-hmm. And he's like, watch this because it's good stuff. But yeah, God of War 2, God of War, however many there are now, what, 7? I'm gonna say this is God of War the 7th.
I think this is the 7th one.
It's around that. Them, yeah. Kratos versus Thor. Spoilers. I mean, if you're not paid by now, sorry. I don't know what I can say.
I believe this is the 8th one, if you count all the portable ones as well.
Yeah, I was trying to count the PSP ones, but I couldn't do the math that quickly, but yeah.
Either way, it's a highly anticipated thing. And obviously, I mean, for me, like the original God of War is just the best game of the last generation. And I think that there's a lot to live up to. I wonder if they are in a position that maybe CDPR were kind of in towards the end of Cyberpunk, where it's like, maybe we can do this. Like we kind of have, you know, if we just sort of bring this together, staple this, patch this up, stitch that, then we can get there for the end. Maybe that's what they're clinging on to, but there's a weird feeling around God of War where it's coming in 2021, but there's no trailer for it. There's nothing other than that initial announcement.
When we got the announcement of God of War 2018, didn't it just kind of like, you know, bam, E3, and then bam, it came out. Like, wasn't it like a really short window? And also, like, I used to be sort of like, oh, well, you can't release it because, you know, like when we fought Tsushima and Last of Us were both like flop, well, eat each other, and they didn't. They both prospered and they both sold loads. So now I could see God of War coming out around Horizon, but at the same time, I think it's going to be March next year.
I think it's going to be 2022. Just having a quick Google, because that would be a hell of a 1-2 if they dropped it the E3 of the year that it came out. But no, it actually, the debut trailer for 2018's God of War was in 2016. It was at E3 2016.
Jesus.
Okay. Where Kratos walked out the shadows. And that was like a massive moment. That does not feel like 5 years ago, but no. that's the harsh reality that we're in. But
I was going to say, I think March 2022 is maybe a bit more like, I was going to say optimistic, but I guess realistic, you know, like Ben Roy was saying, they might be able to pull it off. And like, it would be so cool if they did manage to pull it off for this year. Obviously, Santa Monica is a veteran team. They know what they're doing. They've already built the first God of War. I'm pretty sure at the time of release, Cory Barlog said, like, it's not going to take another four or five years. Like, we've got the foundations here. We can hit the ground running. They made a big decision to not do any like story DLC or any DLC like that, no expansion pack. So they just jumped straight into the sequel. So they could have been working on it nonstop since God of War 2018 shipped. And I'm sure they had ideas before then. But even then, like, I don't want to put all of the eggs in this one basket in the hopes that Ragnarok is coming in 2021. Because to be honest, boys,
it already arrived in 2020, mate. Carry on.
It already did. I'm not even entirely sure I need it this year. Like, I don't think it would make or break the year. I love God of War. Really excited for the second one. But there are a lot of cool titles, especially from Sony, coming out this year, including Horizon Zero Dawn, Forbidden West.
Well, for me, it's like, I feel like you need that exclusive lineup. Like, for me, it's so dry right now. Like, there's if I look at 2021 at a glance, like, yeah, there's Horizon, but I'm just a little bit gutted that it's still on PS4. And then there's God of War, but we don't even know what that's another whole thing is, we don't even know if it's on PS4, if it's cross gen.
It's like, on whether PS4.
It probably is going to be on PS4 and it's going to be delayed, but neither of these things they want to say right now. Maybe they want to get some goodwill out of the way with like Returnal and get some sort of PlayStation exclusive and then go from there. But that's a whole other thing, is the cross-gen stuff.
The only thing worse than putting it till next year is putting it in May with everything else. Like, just release it the same day as Returnal. Why not at this point? Like, everyone's just sitting on each other's lap at this point. Yeah, it would.
That would be another concrete genie.
Yeah, I feel like there's no games now, but then like there's just simply, it's slow now. Like, you know, like that PS2 sort of slow now until like, say, this weird bump in May, and then it's going to be slow again. So, I mean, after May, we're going to be drowned. We're going to be that meme where that kid's sort of like trying to survive, and then your backlog is drowning in the ocean sort of thing. But I know what you mean. I'm either way, I could have either one, but I don't know. I'm unsure yet, but like, I'm not hyped for Horizon. I'm more hyped for God of War.
Yeah, same. I think another thing as well is that of all the studios that can sort of push back against, like, we need to hit this release day or we need to hit this particular release window, Naughty Dog were always that, felt like the one team on Sony's lineup that could say, like, no, we're going to do what we're going to do, and it's going to be this long and take this long to make and whatever. And I would assume that because of God of War, Santa Monica now have that if they didn't have it before.
They won their last stand before, and it was either that God of War hit or they were done sort of thing. So now they big weight,
And you'd assume that because of that, they can. And plus, like, I mean, the story that was being told, like, it's so personal from Corey. Like, there's so much that he's pulling from his relationship with his son, or like becoming a father and raising his son and everything. So I'm like, whatever that story is, like that whole trilogy, because initially it was planned, or it is planned to be a trilogy. You know, it has to hit every single beat of it. So I don't know. Like, props to them. Like, they should delay it if need be. It feels increasingly weird not talking about it when every other exclusive for this year has a release date, and God of War is just kind of nebulously hanging there for the second half of the year. We should also talk about GTA 6, Ben Roy. This is one of the stories that you threw in, the idea of GTA 6 being announced / heavily rumored. I would assume full on announcement.
Didn't I put a slash, like, didn't I put a lull somewhere in there? Yeah, but like, it's this brewing of like GTA sold now what 140 million. You think they were slowing down? That's like one of the newest figs floating around. And at this point, I even think, like, you've got those diehards that live on, like, it's become like not an MMO as such, but it's somewhere you live in GTA Online. Like,
I was honestly, right, for GTA Online, looking at last night, there was a guy who runs a aerial display team, and he was showing off, like, it was like 5 or 6 different pilots that do all, like, that set the flares off and do different, like, twisting movements through the sky. And he was like sharing all this stuff. He's like, oh, look, what we've done is this aerial display team inside GTA Online, and they have to do it in a private server because everyone just shoots them out the sky if they do it in the public one. But the fact that he was able to do that, I'm like, that's insane that it's that malleable. It's become this second life thing for some people.
It definitely has. And like, the last time I made a venture into that sort of like space we just did the modes where it's like those flying sort of like race destruction things in the sky, or like when you start and you're a car on a parachute, you've got to land on the spot. Like we were just doing all those extreme games.
Right.
But I feel like it probably feels like it's time now. Like, and they feel like if they did this, then they could be like, then this is their foundation for the next 10 years. But like at one point, doesn't it start to get to a point where they've put it out and they probably had a bunch more sales on PS5. Like there was a specific PS5 version or something stupid. And I just feel like it's the time.
Yeah, there's still like the PS5 one to come. There's still the whole next gen versions or whatever later this year.
But they're not even out yet.
No, and it's like there's not like the proper next gen one that apparently is coming, because when they did the PS5 reveal, it opened with that whole Rockstar sponsored GTA thing, and there's assumedly some full proper next gen version coming. But
that's why I don't think it's coming, boys. I just don't think it's getting announced this year because of the fact that GTA 5 is still selling so well, and they've got this remaster that's on its way for the PlayStation 5, and then other consoles after the fact. So I don't think they would announce GTA 6 before that's properly established. Like, they can live on this thing, like Ben Roy was saying, for so much longer, and I don't feel like we'll see anything from a new project until maybe next year, or even maybe the year after, like for the 10-year anniversary. Like in my head canon, it's going to release on like the 10-year anniversary of GTA 5, like 2023. That's when we'll get it. So we might get an announcement early next year, but I feel like because they've decided to remaster 5 and it's coming to the next-gen consoles, they'll just coast on that a little bit.
Yeah, if that is true. I mean, they just sort of said like, oh, it's coming to PS5, but it's like, what does that really mean? They haven't necessarily drilled it down if they're reworking assets again. Because that's the thing to always forget is that GTA 5 came out in 2013, right at the end of the 7th generation, got remastered for the 8th generation, and then we've sort of ridden that one out the whole time, and then that'll be the one that gets remade again on the current gen. So it's just like, that's insanely good business. Like, they haven't gone back and had to spend the money, the R&D, doing a whole other version of it. But it's also crazy. I mean, the amount of time that it's been since GTA 5, 2000's Rockstar had about 7 sequels by now, including all the PSP ones and everything. So I don't know. Do you guys feel like you're like hungry for GTA, or is it just kind of like this weird side thing that's just ticking away in the background?
I feel like you could probably get that satire if they got some more writers, because obviously all the writers have left now, the houses have gone as well. Like, I feel like you could probably get that same sort of style from somewhere else, but like, I don't know, like, there's so many, like GTA, I think, used to also be special because it was a big open world, and it was that, like, for a lot of the time, it was like, you know, I'm just going to go out there and blow something up. And then it became this really, then we had the two like really hard hitting stories. And now I don't know what I want from GTA anymore. I don't think it can just be, I mean, it can just be another GTA and it will destroy everything. But for me personally, I just don't think it's like, I think there probably needs to be a bit more there, but obviously there doesn't need to be a bit more there because it's GTA and it will just destroy anything.
It is so weird, isn't it? Like, you've got like GTA 4 was like sort of the left field one. GTA 5 is the best selling thing ever. Like, I think it is literally the best selling piece
of entertainment
ever. And then it's like, what do you even do after that? And then Dan Houser's left. Sam Houser stayed, but he wasn't massively creatively involved beforehand. His great contribution was the hot coffee scandal for San Andreas. So it's like, you're going to lead with that stuff next time. But I don't know. I guess, Josh, what do you think they'll do going forward?
I honestly, I think I'd be a fool to guess. You know, we've covered so many different rumors about it at this point, about potentially going back to the 1970s, doing Vice City, having a bunch of different cities from the older games come in. Mm-hmm. And like Ben Roy was saying, they're in a kind of like interesting position because it's been, or it's going upcoming, coming up the 10-year anniversary of GTA 5. It's been a whole generation without a proper one, like without a PS4 or Xbox One era GTA. Like you said, we just carried over GTA 5 and remastered it. So I am hungry for it personally. Like, I was living off GTA Online for a long time, but now I haven't touched that in a good few years now. So I'm eager to see what they do next. And that's especially compounded because we've not really seen much from Rockstar in general. We got Red Dead Redemption 2, which is one of my favorite games ever. So I'm not complaining that it took a long time to make that game. But like you said, it's not like the Rockstar of old. You know, every single time they release a game now, whether it's GTA or whatever, it's an event. It's a big drop. It's got this monumental feeling behind it. And the next GTA is inevitably going to have that feeling times 10 because it's going up against the biggest selling entertainment product ever. So I don't know what they're going to do. I just hope it retains that level of Rockstar and quality that we got from all of the previous games and all of their recent projects. And I just hope it kind of justifies its existence, because we could just live on GTA 5 forever. But what are they going to bring to the table? What innovations are they going to bring? What revolutionary ideas are they going to bring to the forefront to push the genre forward like they did back you know, in the day, even in GTA 4's day or GTA 5 day.
That was the whole thing with Red Dead. Like, oh, it's going to revolutionize open world spaces all over again, because you had all these, this way of the game generating missions and content. You're not really realizing a main mission has become a side mission. What even is that distinction and stuff like that? And I think for the most part, they pulled that off. But then when you start, like, when people have really dug into it, it's like, oh, okay, these things are triggered to happen in this order. And, you know, you can go from this into a bar brawl into hunting this guy down. And it's not as dynamically generated as you think. And so I'm curious how much devs take from that. Because even like the depth of Red Dead 2 is, it's such an opulent, over the top, expensive project. I don't even know if anyone can even replicate that other than Rockstar anyway. So I think that, yeah. I'm curious how that even applies to GTA. Let's move on to some Konami stuff though. There's the whole Silent Hill thing. Like Silent Hill has been rumored for so long. I feel like we've rumored, talked about this for 2-3 years. But I know, but like the other week, the sort of legendary Silent Hill composer, Akira Yamaoka, was on a podcast called AI Hub, and he was asked by the host, you know, what are you working on and what's coming up? And he said, oh, I've got something coming out, or something that's going to be announced halfway through 2021, and I think it's what you've all been waiting for. And that part of the interview has now been removed. Konami were apparently asked about this. They said it wasn't them, but they would say that, wouldn't they? So, but otherwise, why else would that dude say that? Obviously, he knew what he was saying. It took him a while to reply in the audio as well. He sort of talks to his translator and he's like, oh, God, oh, I think it's the one you're waiting for. And there's also the Metal Gear stuff, but let's stick with Silent Hill for a sec. Do you think it's just, I guess, Benoit, do you think it's long overdue, Silent Hill just being a thing?
It's strange because when someone on a podcast that I've not really heard of, and like, it's not that I know all podcasts, and then someone goes, hey man, hey Yukiri Yamaoka, what are you working on? And then he goes, oh, something that you might want to see. And I'm like, what? It seems like he's just sort of like, he's just trying to light a match and just throw it into some like kindling and try and like get it going. And Konami's just like, no, mate, we're doing some pachinko and we're trying to remaster.
We've got Pez, all right?
Yeah, they're trying to make better pachinko machines. Like, I just watched the Metal Gear Solid 3 cutscenes in pachinko form the other day again.
Which are brilliant. And it's so infuriating. Yeah. I know, it's so infuriating they didn't do any more with it.
And then playing, I get off Metal Gear, but then playing, like, I was considering downloading that. They were playing the HD collection via PlayStation Now, because I think it was the Xbox version of the Silent Hill HD collection that never got fixed, but the PlayStation right. one did. Because, like, there's no fog in the PlayStation, in the Xbox version. It's a whole thing. Like, what the hell were you doing? But, like, I've been thinking about Silent Hill for a while, and, like, just leading to, like, since Silent Hills, and you're so close, and then it ripped away, and then they're just like, nope, we're not doing this. See you later, get out. It's a bit like Nintendo, where they go, how dare they think they can have a Nintendo game on an Xbox? Nope, get out. And it's just like, I don't know whether it's just like there's a certain like level of no gout is sometimes with people in Japan that like to make games and like to control their properties, and so they should, because some of these properties are something like Silent Hill, like. Mm-hmm. It's always been up there. It's been up there, and then it had its weird time where they were just trying to milk it for what it's worth and turn it into all this crap and like a dungeon crawl or sort of thing, which didn't work. But Silent Hill, if you just did even like a smaller budget, like I'm trying to think of that horror game that we have both played, Scott. Try and tell the Medium. Yeah. Just do that. Just give us that on a small scale.
As well, like,
or just pay someone, Blue Point, to sort out your remake.
Yeah, this is the Medium, like, was such a reminder of old school, like the isometric camera angles. It's so gorgeous. And the way that it plays, like, it doesn't have tank controls, but it is more restricted kind of movement. And that gets in the way sometimes with the stealth sections or whatever. But I love that game. And it was such a reminder of that old school isolation, the tension that came from old school horror, and where I love the cinematography of it. Like, you can frame spaces in a way that you can't when the camera's over your shoulder. And I think that contributes to it so much. Like, you know, some creature appears in the foreground and, oh my God, I've got to deal with it in this weird, like, you know, tight space. That stuff was just so effective. And I kind of, if they did more Silent Hill, for me, I would want it to be old school, but I don't know if Konami would ever go down that route again.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
I like the fixed camera, like the perfect fixed camera is like when it moves about with you as well, and it's not just like static, like in the Silent Hills and Code Veronica, correct? Like that is like the perfect sort of thing, but I don't know if it is the mainstream. Maybe they could get away with it like Resident Evil Remake 1, but I want to know what Josh thinks because I cut him off.
No. It's fascinating, man, because I feel like I've talked about this Resident Evil remake or remaster or whatever it's going to be, continuation, for so long because I'm burnt out on Silent these rumors. Hill, like, sorry, Resident Evil. As I was talking to Ben Roy, looking into his eyes, I just got corrupted by the Resident Evil vibes. Yeah, Silent Hill, I mean. Yeah, we've been talking about like those rumors for so long, and I've been burnt so many times about a potential Silent Hill revival. And at this point, I just want them to do anything. Like, give me an old school Silent Hill experience, you know? Give me that tank control-y kind of more puzzle-based experience, or try to reinvent the wheel and go down the PT first-person horror route. Like, there's so much potential in the series, and that's why it's so frustrating to see it just never capitalized on, because the premise of having Silent Hill as a place, you know, literally there, and also being this nightmare world that, you know, brings to life the manifestations of whatever characters you're thrown there, and like their innermost demons, their dives into their psyche, brings out their fears. Like, that can lead to literally endless possibilities, but it's almost like the Silent Hill iconography and the Silent Hill personality has almost suffocated any creativity, because now Silent Hill's it's just sexy demon nurses, and
I think it's just as much Pyramid Head. I think if you did iconic villain, yeah.
Yeah,
if you watch the film, those little bugs that you turn around, they go, nah, and then you stamp on them.
You don't get 20 of them in.
No, the point is, right, we've seen those characters before. Like, they were great with their respective games, and I don't think we want to have a case like the film version where it wanted to include those characters but didn't really understand why they were important to the story. They just thought it was like, Pyramid Head looks cool, so we've got to have him in a game. When it comes to modern Silent Hill, whatever that is, I would want to see them, you know, obviously pay homage and be respectful to what's come before, but also drive the franchise forward, bring new ideas to the table, bring new creations to the table that we get scared of again. Like, just please, please, the original creators keep teasing it. So I'll take whatever. Just
well, that's the thing.
Stop saying these things. If it's there's not so many, like, I can't take it.
Yeah, there's so many of the original staff that are like, oh, maybe, oh, I don't know. And then, like Akira Yamaoka just being like, oh, it's the thing you've been waiting for. And then, like, it has to be that. Like, what else is it going to be? I mean, you were literally called Team Silent at one point, and now you literally are. Like, just say the other thing. The other half of the Konami coin is the Metal Gear remake, which I forget where this initially started, but it's just sort of been bandied about so much. It was rumored that it was going to be one of the things that Blue Point are working on. There was the whole cast getting back together for one of the anniversary live casts or whatever that Jordan Vogt Roberts initially put into motion, but then it's kind of just they still did like a whole thing where the voice cast got to talk to each other again, which led to a lot of rumors of like, oh, are they getting back together to do more line reads and re-record that script all over again for the second time because they did it for Twin Snakes. Do you guys think that we'll get a Metal Gear remake? I don't even know if my brain can take it at this point.
It's just Konami again, isn't it? Like, it's waiting for someone to go, okay, look, how much money do you want, Konami? Just at this point, don't even get rid of your IP. Just lease it out and let someone else do it for you. Because it's like they're sitting on Castlevania, Metal Gear, Silent Hill, and all that. Like, I mean, people are just, I can't remember the specific names, but people are Castlevania and better than Castlevania was at the moment now. And like, they're just doing this thing over here. We have the medium, which like you replace that certain like evil goblin thing with the pyramid head, and then you've got your pyramid head sections right there with less scraping and like the world switching that game. I'm just thinking about it the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then with like Metal Gear, it's just, it's a stealth game, but like the name Metal Gear Solid, I think would sell. And I think if you just even tease it with like, not even tease it, put Metal Gear Solid 1 out again. Like just remake it and then just do it like that. Not really change. Maybe change some of the, like I was having a lot of problems last night trying to not shoot people and hold and squirt. Like some of the controls in like those games do get me, but you do get used to them. But
yeah,
just do it. It's just like, I think it's still more than Demon Souls. Like, I'm sorry, but Demon Souls compared to like a Metal Gear Solid, get out of here. Like Metal Gear Solid would crush that. Like, that's just, yeah.
My thing with Metal Gear is that like you know, we can cite things like the medium is carrying on where Silent Hill left off, and the medium for me did scratch that itch, and I love that game, but like nothing is like Metal Gear, mainly because no other mind is like Hideo Kojima's. So it's like you can't do new Metal Gear because I just don't think you would nail the tone anywhere near enough. Obviously there was more people that did contribute to Metal Gear over the years. I think most of them have left Konami at this point. But it's that whole thing where like maybe all that's left to do is bring those old games back out. My problem with it, which is just sheer 100% fan thing, is that if they re-recorded those lines, they wouldn't sound the same, obviously, but I know all those inflections off by heart. I love all those line reads. I don't need or want new versions of those really iconic lines. And even something, I'm just imagining like, you know, like when Liquid goes down in the hind D and then Snake's like, that takes care of the cremation. And it's like, I don't need you to change anything. I don't need you to redo it. And so for me, just re-release Metal Gear Solid 1, just touch it up, put it in HD, put it in 4K, 60 FPS, whatever. That would work for me. But I don't know if that's enough for...
If they kept all the audio recordings, like I played number one on the PlayStation thingy, whatever it was, like 2 years ago, I'm playing number two now. Like, I'm pretty sure you could just transplant that audio over, but like, you don't know how like they've kept their files. It's not like we're a film when you've got like most film studios, like you're going to send us everything, but like 7 layers of the audio here so we can spice out what we need. With video games, you get hear people like, oh, I left it in a cardboard box in the roof. And like, it's the difference, it's night and day between film and games. Like, but like, the recordings still sound lush, even on a PlayStation Mini thing, and even streamed over the internet.
Do you think Metal Gear 1, though, do you think the audio would be high enough quality for them to just put it back out again? Because for me, that's obviously we're going back like over 2 decades.
Josh, haven't you played that one recently more than me? Like, I think it does sound fine.
It sounds fine, but... Yeah, it holds up really well. I wonder whether or not the original recordings, like you said, would be of high enough quality to be transplanted directly onto a proper remake. But yeah, I was so surprised at how high the production values of that game just hold up going back to it years later, because there's so many like great PlayStation games in your memory that you think hold up really well. If you go back and you kind of hear the sound effects and you're like, ooh, this is not high quality at all, and you couldn't just transplant them on a new game. But yeah, going back to MGS1 on that PlayStation Mini, and I was like, this still knocks my socks off. No, not necessarily from a gameplay perspective anymore, but I think it's just a very difficult game to remake or remaster because it's so of its time and so distinct, like you said, Scott, in terms of even the delivery of the lines, not just the getting back the actors to deliver them. It's like those specific intonations, those specific cuts. Like we saw it with the Twin Snakes when they tried to remake everything.
I hated that.
You can throw it off whack completely and very quickly. But that said, I do want to see it come back because it's so hard to track down. Like you have to literally get a PlayStation 1 or a PlayStation 3 or a Vita, I suppose, or get a PlayStation Mini to play it. Whereas you can just hop on PlayStation Now and boot up Snake Eater.
I'll tell you what as well. We mentioned Twin Snakes and how much Twin Snakes was different. I'm sure it was you, Josh, that sent me that interview where Kojima, that was the version he preferred drastically. I know that there's a whole other thing with the original Metal Gear Solid was translated by one person who put in all that military dialogue and made it, or he came up with the name Codec for the Codec thing. And like that was one dude drawing from all these like 80s action films, which gave Metal Gear this tone that I personally love. I still think Metal Gear Solid on PS1 is the best one. And then it turned out that Kojima hated all that. And that was why Metal Gear went so banana sandwich after that, because he was like, no, this is what it's supposed to be. And then that's the thing. If you did it now, do you respect Kojima's wishes and not take from Metal Gear 1 that he notoriously hated, or like, you know, hated apparently over time, or do you do like, or do you still do that version and run the risk of him saying something during the marketing rollout that tanks the entire project? Like, I don't even know like which version of Metal Gear they would go for.
I don't think you can half-arse it, because I feel like Resident Evil 1 remake did it perfectly and it's stuck to it. They took out some of the crap, like actual lines, and redid some dialogue.
Is Jill Sandwich in the remake?
No, you were almost crushed into a sat. Like the sandwich is there, but you weren't a Jill sandwich. You could have almost, you were almost fit in a sandwich at that point. It sounded like that, but like, whereas in like Resident Evil 3, where they try to skirt the line and then they cut half the game out, it's like, oh, this is, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like you either need to go all the way hardcore into it or like go wacky. And I think you should go hardcore into at least Metal Gear 1, because at this point, you don't want to become George Lucas and, you know, put a load of Bamfers in front of the screen.
I'd imagine if it is all true that it was given to Blue Point and they're the ones that do it, they seem to be the studio that works the most with the original creators, and sort of does a one-to-one, like a reskinning, like a sort of reimagining of it. Like what would these textures look like on the modern day? And I think they would want to collaborate with Kojima, or they'd want to collaborate with those original artists. And I don't trust Konami to let anyone have access to that team, but I guess Kojima could sit in, but then he'd probably want to change stuff.
The one thing I would do is I would have first person shooting mode in that and try and make it work. I mean, it might kill the Ocelot fight. You might have to change that, but I feel like you don't need it for this point, but I feel like it, to have a nice continuity with the other games, I feel like it should have that at least.
Yeah, I mean, they put it in Twin Snakes. I think, like, for me, like, the way that MGS5 plays, it's like, I wonder if you made Metal Gear 1 play, like, Phantom Pain, I think we probably burn through it in, like, half an hour, because, like, Phantom Pain just goes, like, so much more.
Battery goodness.
Yeah, it is. it could be a way to go, but I guess even if this thing is even true, we'll have to wait and see. The final thing, which is something that's been talked about for a few years, it's a lot quicker to sort of delve into. It's just the idea of Nintendo doing another Switch this year. One of the most, like, it's been doing the rounds for a few years, but one of the most recent rumors came from Dr. Serkan Toto, who's a Japanese games analyst, who works for Kantan Games, saying that the Nintendo Switch capable of 4K resolution is apparently coming in 2021. Do you guys think you would buy another Switch just for increased horsepower?
I need games, right? I've changed my tune since the last time we covered this, because originally I thought, yes, I want a 4K Switch. That's awesome. And then I thought, what would I play on it? Only currently games I've already played.
Yeah.
And I need more titles announced from Nintendo. I need things to look forward to, because at the moment I feel like the slate's quite empty. I mean, yeah, we've got Breath of the Wild 2 that's been announced, but
hey, there's Mario, mate. Just because it's remade from a Wii U, don't you worry about it. It's brand new. Bowser's Fury is coming in.
Well, yeah, I guess there's that. I mean, at the moment, I'm playing the Ring Fit, and I'm thinking, do I need to play this in 4K? Probably not, but get me some cool games announced, and I absolutely would pay to play Breath of the Wild 2 in 4K with the highest possible features.
If they tie it in with Metroid Prime 4 and Bayonetta 3, then at least you've got two big sort of bombastic productions. Like, it's not, well, not like bombastic for Bayonetta, like Metroid Prime, I guess we'll see what that thing looks like. But like, you know, the idea of a Switch being capable of solid 60 FPS gameplay tied in with their return to a first party, first person shooter, or whatever you want to call Prime. I know it has puzzle elements, whatever. But like, if they do that and they're like, here, this is our entry into this, like this generation's first person shooter type game that's Nintendo branded and it's Metroid and it runs in 4K 60, like that would be a hell of a thing. But it is true that their release slate is absolutely nothing right now. Like, they don't really have anything other than just probably Zelda, probably this year, like we sort of said.
It's not going to happen. They don't need to do it. They've sold a quazillion Switches. They're still selling them. I don't think you give a console a 4K update like the Switch unless you're doing a new thing, because they don't need to push it at this point. They might call it the HD Plus or some crap, but I think if they're doing a 4K machine, it won't be the next one. It'll be the one afterwards. The next one will be like a two. It'll run at like 2K or something. It won't be true 4K. And their games really look lush as it is, how it is. And I'm never gonna play a third party game first on the Switch. I don't want to play. Like The Witcher on the go, really. Like, I want all this sort of thing in my glorious TV. Even though you can plug a Switch into the TV, most of the time I want the Switch on the sofa. Like, you know, I'm making a horrible Mario Maker course to just punish myself. But like, yeah, I don't think those Mario games, like, I don't think the Mario games need to be in 4K. They'll be in 4K at one point. Ooh. But oh, they look so good. But at the same time, I think you've got what you need out of it as it is. And they've only really just reached the land of HD properly. So it's just like, and they can't even, you have to speak to someone on a Switch via a smartphone. Like,
I was just going to say, like, they still haven't figured out voice chat, let alone
catching up with resolutions. They don't care because they don't need to. They're not just like, they're just like, no.
I still don't have any faith in them doing this at all, but if they could do what Microsoft do with upscaling stuff automatically, the idea of 4K Super Mario World, 4K anything from their legacy collection would just be phenomenal. But like you say, they don't need to, and they're
All-Stars, like, Scott.
All-Stars.
What was that? That was, let's up-res this old ROM that we hacked off someone else's website as far as we can take it, and then get two more. Not even put Super Mario Galaxy 2 in there for some reason. Nope. We're gonna save that when we've done a few. You idiots! Like, just
that collection got Mr. Josh Brown to play Mario 64, and if that's the only way he's gonna do it, then maybe that's just the bullet.
Because they need to make it playable. They need to not have it on the 3DS, like, because it's a tiny little. Oh, I don't want to play games like this. I don't like that. And then the Switch. This is why Josh got to play it, and I'm happy he got to play it. But it's not a good. I mean, it's probably is it the best version of that game? Like, no. What is?
It's not. I don't think so. I think it's built for the N64 controller, but that's a whole separate conversation. I'm glad that it exists. I'm glad it's a bit crispier and a bit cleaner and stuff. But the camera control's a dog. Carry on.
And you're going to be buying all those games for £70 each, and you're going to do it, and we're all going to do it and cry about it. I can't believe they did that. Where's my 4K Switch in 2024? And we're all still inside our rooms right now, just like, well, I've got the Switch SD because they released an SD version of the Switch.
Sorry, I can't hear you over this additional controller I've ordered and this additional memory card that I've ordered. Please speak up. Josh, what was the thing you were going to say there, mate?
I was just going to say, like, the real Mario 3D All-Stars fan has just entered the chat because, I've not played any of these games. I didn't grow up with Nintendo console, so there are so many experiences that, quite, you know, frankly, Nintendo are holding hostage at the moment that I have to pay a lot of money to get perhaps the worst version of, and yet I'm willing to do it, and I think that says everything, not necessarily about me or my pride or my, you know, respectability, but more so how Nintendo can just do the bare minimum and make the most money every single time. Yeah. So that's the only thing, like Benroy was saying, that gets me wondering about this, because they've not cared about this stuff really, and I'm sure they are feeling some pushback because we've just got next gen machines from Sony and Microsoft to do something, and I would like it to be this, but they could just say he's another 2DS or something. He's another Switch Mini.
Is it Switch Mini? They're gonna, you know what? Konami are going to release all their Silent Hills remastered with Metal Gear on that only, not even normal Switch, the one that you can't plug into your TV, and they go like, there you go.
Konami will put out on the KFC chicken chamber thing just to be a little bit more different. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments of all these various rumors and things. We'll get into more of them going forward, but this is a roundup of the biggest things that could happen in 2021. And for now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Yay, I'm first. We basically just went, all these rumors are crap and they're not going to happen. But anyway,
who knows? Gaming, isn't it? And also, Josh Brown.
Goodbye. Who knows? We'll probably have like more GTA 6 news tomorrow or something that invalidates all of this, which I'm excited for.
Almost definitely, but it's my day off, so I'll be in bed. But till then, bye.
Bye.
Drowning in GTA 6.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.